sunglasses on. I'm at a funeral.
Oh, sunglasses. Yeah.
Are we live? Fuck it. Welcome back to the Boneyard Podcast, everybody. This is your host, Jared Shaffet. And I'm along with my good friend, Joshua Killian. Knowledgeable soul. Josh, how's it going? We don't have Artie this week, so you're going to have to bear with me and Josh. But Josh, how's it going?
Going great. How are you, Jared?
I'm doing fantastic. It's starting to feel like spring, but then we had a nice weekend, and then came crashing back down today with all the rain and the coolness. But hey, we're almost there. We're got a tee time booked for this weekend, so excited to get out for the first time this season. Weather should be nice this weekend, though. Weather should be nice across the entire state in Greenville, North Carolina, where hey, ECU baseball will be back home to start their conference play at home. Started conference play last week, but first conference series at home of the season. So excited about that. But Josh, we don't have much to talk about today, but we're gonna run through it a little bit. But before we get into it, do you have a number 90 for me?
So I got to go into the bag of tricks for this one, okay? 90 is not a widely used number. But there was a player who once played for the Kansas Jayhawks. Was a journeyman in the NBA, but you know, he still played, still got paid, fourth overall pick to the Memphis Grizzlies in the 2002 draft. His Kansas Jayhawks went 16-0 for their first conference championship since 1998 and 2002 when they did it. So he's none other than Drew Gooden, who may have gotten a little bit of fame when he was with the Cleveland Cavaliers, but with LeBron, but really obscure guy, though. Really obscure guy.
Yeah, that's obscure. Mine is obscure, but I think I did the same one last year, but it's too good to pass it up again. Mine played a total of one game in the National Hockey League. Played in the 2019-2020 season. Goaltender, none other than Zamboni driver David Ayers. Josh, do you know this story?
I do. He came in right for the Hurricanes because they were down both their goalies, right? And then there's this rule where the Zamboni driver can end up being like a fill-in goalie. And he ended up basically shutting out the Capitals, or was it the Penguins?
It was the Maple Leafs in Maple Toronto. He was the Toronto Marlies Zamboni driver. So their AHL affiliate, he was their Zamboni driver. And he just happened to play like goalie and was good enough to be what they call an emergency backup goalie. This is an insane rule in the NHL where if both of your goalies get hurt, you can suit up a random person that is selected by both. So it's selected by the home team. They have somebody waiting in the wings at every NHL game just in case something happens like this. And they have to be ready to go into the game for either team. And that night, both goalies got hurt, I believe. Peter Mrazek and I want to say maybe, was it James Reimer then? Peter Mrazek and James Reimer, I want to say, were the two goalies. Both of them get hurt in the game. And the Hurricanes have to turn to an emergency backup goalie. And it's happened a couple of times in NHL history. This wasn't the first time that it happened for the Hurricanes. The Hurricanes, actually, their equipment manager, George Alves, once was an emergency backup goalie for the Hurricanes, probably 4 or 5 years prior to this. But yeah, he came in, I believe, in the second period, and he gave up a goal or two, but for the most part, shut down the star-studded Toronto Maple Leafs in the mecca of hockey, Toronto, Ontario, and beat the Maple Leafs on their home ice, and did it and became a cult hero for the Carolina Hurricanes that year. I remember watching that game and just being like, okay, well, this game's over. Like, we're going to some nobody that nobody knows about, nobody had ever heard of until 15 minutes ago. And Austin, shutting down the likes of Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner, and I believe John Tavares was still with the Maple Leafs at that time. Being able to shut down those guys and play in an NHL game and get the win, it's incredible. It is absolutely incredible that just anybody can come in and do that. So mine, number 90, Carolina Hurricanes legend, David Ayers. That's my number 90. Also in the 2022 season, I want to say current Hurricanes goalie Pyotr Kochetkov wore the number 90 in the 2022 season. Another goalie wearing 90. All right, Josh, moving along. Variety Sports Network, Boneyard Podcast, proud to be members of the Variety Sports Network. Check it out. Go subscribe on YouTube. Seventh inning stretch. Baseball season starts tomorrow. Lots of great content. Basketball, in off the bench. Check them out. There's a lot of great content. The Five Hole Podcast, our NHL podcast, where you can hear me talk about NHL and spew my Hurricanes bias all over the place. But check us out. Make sure you subscribe at Variety Sports Network. And if you're watching now on Variety Sports Network, head over to our channel at Boneyard Podcast and give us a subscribe. And to all the people watching right now, go ahead and give us a subscribe. If you're driving in your car and you're listening to this, pull over to the side of the road and hit that subscribe button. And we'll love you forever. You'll be a friend of the podcast forever. If you don't, Josh, what can they do?
Well, the daggum Dolly cargo ship plank.
Wow. Had to throw that one in there. Wow. Too soon.
Rest in peace. Rest in peace to those who are on the bridge.
Too soon. All right, Josh. Just some quick news or quick update. 2024 season ticket priority deadline for football is April 8th. I think there was around 7,500, 7,250. Tickets sold already. Get your season tickets and get your ass in Dowdy Ficklin Stadium. It's going to be a fun season. High powered offense. Donnie Kirkpatrick may be a friend of the podcast now, but this ain't no Donnie Kirkpatrick offense that we're going to be watching. I've been talking with some of the guys, and this offense is excited to get out there and ball out this fall. So make sure you get tickets to the fireworks. You don't want to miss the fireworks. So get those tickets. Josh, your thoughts on how the spring's going? Pro Day was today. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think the spring is going as springs normally do. Just, you know, getting your installs in. We finally got some shells on. We're not just helmets and pants. We finally got some shells. Doing a little thud, I'm sure. But, like, I think right now it's just about learning the speed of your guys. Like, that happens on offense, happens on defense. You got to understand, as the middle linebacker or as a Sam linebacker, you got to understand the speed of your edge that's in front of you, or you got to understand the speed of the corner that's sitting beside you. You got to – I think that's really what's really going on. I think learning how to play together, because in the spring game, I just want to see how they play together. That's really what I'm looking for in the spring game. So just really learning the speed.
Yeah, I'm excited about the spring game. I think – I mean, we're just 2 weeks away, right? And I think this is going to be one of the more entertaining spring games. We talked a lot about the spring game last week. I think this is going to be one of the more entertaining spring games that we've seen. It's going to be you're going to have two quarterbacks trying to show their stuff, a stout defense that is returning a lot of guys, right? And you're going to see a lot of speed. I think that's the key word for this offense is speed. I mean, these guys, just seeing some of their speeds come across. I don't know if there's going to be another team in the conference that's going to be as quick as we are. And hopefully what that does is makes it seem like our quarterbacks have a little more time in the pocket when we've struggled at the offensive line. I'm excited to see how the quarterbacks react to that and the decisions that they make in the spring game. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's always one of my favorite events of the year is going to the spring game. So make sure April 14th, get inside Dowdy Ficklin Stadium and watch the purple and gold spring game. And then afterwards, we'll go just right across the parking lot and see East Carolina whoop up on the 49ers in baseball that evening. So, going to be a lot of fun. I'm really excited. Yeah, I was texting with some of the guys, and they, from what I'm understanding and what I'm hearing from some of the athletes, is this is the most excited they've been about an offense ever. And I'm talking to guys that have been in the program for a little bit now. And they talk about how this year is going to be an eye opener to a lot of people. And I agree with them. I think this is going to be a completely different style offense. It sounds like, from what I'm hearing, Mike Houston has given the reins totally over to JDB and is going to allow him to go out and do what he needs to do to have a high powered offense that we all expect from him. Your thoughts?
Yeah. I mean, for me, as much as I want to see the spring game and see what they let us see, I just want to see the reads of the quarterback. I want to see a real RPO. I don't want to see what we've seen the past couple of years with that kind of little slow RPO and whatever. I want to see an RPO with some speed in purple and gold. I've seen it in the powder blue and red at Ole Miss. I've seen it in the red and black at Texas Tech. And I've seen it lots of places. But I want to see it in the purple and gold. And that's really – so I think the spring game is going to be nice just to kind of see what it is that we're doing offensively, defensively, because I'm pretty sure the format's going to be the same, where it's like first team against first team and second team against second team. Like, I don't split up the first team, second team, mix them in, have offense versus defense the whole game, and have each quarterback have his own offense. Like, that's the thing that's the best way to do it, especially when you're in a quarterback competition like you are this season. So,
yeah, for sure. Josh, I think the title for this episode will be The Need for Speed, because I think that's the one thing that ECU has needed for the last couple of years. We've had a couple guys that had speed. Everybody thinks about Keaton Mitchell, but you have speed at all of your skill positions. And that's something that ECU set out to do in the transfer portal. Some of the guys they bring in, I think of Winston Wright Jr. That guy, that man's got wheels. He looks like a cheetah out there. So let him get open and just let him run down the ball. Toss it up and he'll run it down. Anything else on football, Josh? I know we didn't really have much in the notes, but anything else on football you want to talk about?
No, I'm just ready to hear the pads again.
Yeah, same. All right, moving on, basketball. We talked about the unceremonious ending to ECU's basketball season last week. And the tides of the NCAA and the transfer portal, they don't stop. It never stops. It seems like every year it's a rebuild year for ECU. This year is going to be no different. Lots of guys in the transfer portal. We talked about the ones that entered last week, but I mean, over the last two or three days, three more guys have entered. Jaden Walker, Bobby Pettiford, highlighting the two that entered the transfer portal today. Bobby Pettiford, transfer out of Kansas, and then Quinn Dabunje, transfer out of Tennessee. Your thoughts on how the transfer portal is affecting ECU?
I think that I'm going to try to be optimistic about it, but I think that the transfer portal is going to affect ECU even in high school recruiting. Because what I'm seeing right here is Bobby Pettiford's a guy who decided to come back home and chose home to be East Carolina University. I'm sure he could have went on down to UNC Bloomington and had a decent year. He could have come back to the East Coast, gone to Richmond, VCU, he had his choice of programs he could have probably gone to be back home. He could have went to North Carolina Central. North Carolina Central makes it to the tournament. Like, they aren't just some scrub in the MEAC. Like, they make it to the tournament. And he chose East Carolina. But now he's leaving. So is the problem ECU? Like, he never openly spoke any ill against ECU, but, like, is the problem the program? Is the problem the coach? Is the problem just Greenville? Like what is the problem where we can't keep a guy from France who follows a coach that has become like almost like a friend and a mentor as to why you would follow the man to a different school to get some playing time? Like, then you have, I mean, Jaden Walker, you know, his cards this season, it is what it is. Like, sometimes you just don't see the court as much as you would like to throughout the season, but he still ended the season with like 12 starts, 12 out of like the last 16, I think it was. He started the game. So, like, you know, you were gaining your spot for next season. Like, your spot for next season was there. Why not stay? You already know that the key piece is staying. Like, he's already announced. RJ's already said he's staying. Why are these other pieces leaving? High schoolers are going to see that.
It seems like this is every year. You've got one guy that says they're going to stay, and then the rest of the team around him leaves. I have the same worry, Josh. Are you going to be able to build up the team again? This was honestly one of the most talented teams on paper that we had in a very long time. And you had more results than you have had in the past, showing by having the most wins in since joining the American, right? Like, with this, though, I think what we'll see is Mike Schwartz is still going to go out and be aggressive in the transfer portal. But I don't know how programs in the mid-major conferences are going to continue to survive with the way that the transfer portal is set up now, where guys are just leaving. And look, go do what you need to do to get your money. Look at Tristan Newton. We talked about it last week. Look at Tristan Newton. I don't think ECU has a problem attracting talent. I think ECU has a problem keeping some of the talent that they have, and they've struggled historically to keep guys from the eastern part of North Carolina. And they've struggled to bring those guys in and keep them. And I think it's about getting back to your roots, getting back to finding guys here. But at the same time, when you're competing with, I mean, there's three teams from less than 100 miles away that are in the Sweet 16. When you're competing with that year in and year out, it's going to be nearly impossible. So I don't know. I think Coach Schwartz has his work cut out for him. I think he's a good salesman and can sell his style of ball, but I do worry that guys are going to see this and be like, why are all these guys leaving? But then again, they realize it's a business. All these athletes realize it's a business. They're all making business decisions for themselves. They're going to go somewhere that they can get playing time. Maybe it turns into a good thing. Maybe it turns into a thing where, okay, maybe I'm not getting the minutes I'm getting at or I need at a P5 program, kind of like a Cam Hayes or Bobby Pettiford. I want to go back home, and they got a guy, RJ Felton, that can ball. I want to go play with him. And maybe they see that and they're like, okay, I think we can build around that. But I think it's going to take Coach Schwartz getting guys and getting them in a room with RJ Felton and being like, all right, we want to build something here. And I think Felton's commitment to ECU, he's the best player ECU's had. He's the leader of this team, especially now that nobody else is here. I'm picturing Will Smith in the living room, you know, like nobody else is here. So I don't know. I say all that to say I could see it going either way. I'm going to look at it at the glass half full and say Coach Schwartz will be able to bring in some more guys, but I'm not holding my breath.
And I just, the last thing I want to add on to kind of just wrap this up is I said it could affect high school recruiting because someone that has built a relationship with Bobby Pettiford in an Eastern North Carolina guy that's supposed to be coming to ECU in the name of Jordan Vick, like how strong is the connection with Bobby strong enough? And since Jordan's already reclassified to 2025, he's not coming in the fall anyways. Like he has a whole nother year where he could just be like, I'm opening up my recruitment again.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, like we've lost a key piece to the 2025 class that was the key piece to the 2024 class. And it's like now your two recruiting cycles basically stunted, having to hit the transfer portal and probably not getting quality freshmen to build the program, but getting some quality juniors and seniors that'll be gone by the time you can actually get a high school recruiting class in. So that's how I see it going. I don't know what you do at this point.
I don't know. Maybe it's time to pull the plug on ECU basketball and put that money into men's soccer or something.
I would not be opposed.
I say that half jokingly, but I love East Carolina basketball. But something eventually something has to happen that is good for ECU basketball. Something has to happen. And I go back to what I was, I think I said it last week. There's three ways to win it in college basketball. You cheat, you're a blue blood, or you have a miraculous season and you make a name for yourself. It's going to have to be the last of the three, right, for ECU. And, I mean, unless they find a loophole and can cheat their way to being good. But with the NIL, I feel like that's less and less of an option. Yeah, I mean, to me, you gotta find a way to make a name for yourself in basketball, and because I think that's even if ECU is a damn good football team in 2 or 3 years, when we start talking about realignment again, I think basketball's whoever's brought up from the group of five or group of six, whatever you want to call it now, whoever's brought up is going to have to be a good three-sport program, football, basketball, baseball. And I think that's the one piece lacking or could be lacking for ECU. And they got to figure it out. It seems like every single year we're having to learn a new roster because we lose so many guys in the transfer portal. And they go on and they do amazing things. Or they go on to a Power 5 program and make a deep run in the tournament. And it's absolutely infuriating. And ECU fans should be upset. But ECU fans should also realize that this is just what happens at ECU when it comes to basketball. But why not change that narrative? I don't know how you change it, but something's got to change. Something has to change for ECU to be relevant on the hardwood. Anything else to add, Josh?
Last piece, I think it's going to be a four sport universities that are going to get pulled up because the way women's basketball is rising.
Women's basketball is the rise.
I think that's the fourth one you got. I think you can't leave that one out now. I think that was a major player with, especially like if UConn gets good again, that's an easy way for them to be out. Like I think that's one of those things.
Yeah. What if we just pulled ECU club baseball up and just fielded two baseball teams? What about that? Can we do that? Is that an option? ECU club baseball number one in the country right now.
ECU club baseball won their World Series a couple years ago, right? Like they've been good. They've been good.
Yeah. Like you got two really good baseball programs. Granted, one's club, but still, that is why not just have two baseball teams, A team and B team, kind of like Little League.
You can only be the best against your opponents. They can't play Division II schools, but like, I mean, they're number one in a club. Like, sorry, they're the best of their competition.
Exactly. I think that's a good segue, Josh, into baseball. Disappointing weekend last weekend. Dropped 2 of 3 to the Roadrunners down in San Antonio. Honestly, game one, okay, yeah, that sucks. You lose game one. And then I didn't have any doubt in the world that we would win games 2 and 3 until game 3 happened, and then we lose that one as well. Josh, your thoughts on the weekend. Should we be concerned for ECU baseball?
I don't think we should be concerned with ECU baseball right now at this moment. I mean, we have a losing record to UTSA now, but like 5-6, right? Like it's not it's not like we played them a lot, right? So it's kind of one of those things where, hey, let this first one roll off your back and just realize it's a grind. And I mean, as long as we can keep hitting on our midweeks, I think half sweeps, half splitting them 2-1, winning the series is, I think we're good.
Yeah, I think it was a wake up call for this ECU baseball team, and we've seen it in the past where they go into maybe a weekend and they let it slip. Look, I've always thought that Sunday, having a Sunday game, and that can honestly go either way any given Sunday, right? I think that's the hardest one to predict in a weekend series, just because you got your third rotation guy going. Granted, ECU should be better than UTSA, but you have a bad day at the plate, your Sunday guy can't go deep, you may struggle, right? And so anytime that you go into a Sunday game, I always look at it as a toss-up. I don't ever expect to win on a Sunday. I think we should, but I don't think you can, just because anything can happen, especially in the game of baseball. Baseball, I feel like you hear about upsets in baseball. No, I mean, one team just had a better day, right? Like, so that's just the world of baseball. I'm not concerned yet, but I do think that ECU needs to come out and put a hurting on UAB this weekend. I think that they need to come out and do what they can and flex their muscles on UAB and say, look, last week, yeah, maybe we weren't all in on it, but this week in front of a home crowd, we're amped up, we're ready to go. And I think they need to look back on this weekend against San Antonio and say, okay, we got through that. It was a bump in the road, but life goes on. ECU baseball goes on, and we're gonna do what we need to do and take care of our own business. Got the series against UAB. I think that's a winnable series. I'm not gonna call a sweep. I think I called a sweep last week, and then we saw what happened. Not gonna call a sweep, but I'd like to see another broom hung up out there on the pole, and then you can turn right around. Tuesday evening at Doak, NC State. That's a big one. Reunited against Alec Makarevich. It's going to be a fun one in Raleigh next weekend or next week.
Yeah, and I'll be there.
You'll be there. With now, the camera. Yesterday, last night, ECU survived UNCW. Look, these were two teams that went to extra innings, what, 2 weeks ago? If that. Just 2 weeks ago. Went to extra innings. ECU won that one. ECU falls behind late in the midweek. And for all the crap we've talked about the bullpen so far this year, you had guys like Eric Ritchie and Wyatt Lunsford-Chinkman come out and honestly put it all on the table and say, we're going to win this game and will their team to victory. Bats finally came alive, and they gave ECU an opportunity to win 7-4. Sweep the sea chickens from UNCW. Good way to get back on the winning side of things before going into this weekend. So that's all I got. Ryan McChrystal, I think he's up to four games with multiple hits, multiple hit streak. That's a weird way to say that. Multi-hit games.
Yeah. Multi-hit games.
You would think talking into
four a straight games.
Four straight multi-hit games. There, that's how you would say it. That's how you say it. You would think talking into a microphone for as long as we've been doing this podcast that I would be refined enough to know how to say that, but some of us we just have bad days sometimes. But anyways, anything else on baseball? I think they're going to get back this weekend.
Yeah. I think we're going to get back. I think the doubleheader will be a nice 1-2 punch, and then hitting the I guess that's a Saturday game, hitting that really, really well, getting an extra day off before and after. And then I think NC State is going to be a test. I think that's going to be a good one to really see, okay, are the Pirates back on track, or are the Pirates kind of back on track but still need a little bit more shaping up to do before we really hit our stride. So
yeah, for sure. It's gonna be a fun one in Raleigh. I'm excited about that. I saw tickets are still for sale, going for $89. So if you're willing to go into Raleigh and deal with that crowd, might be worth it. All right. Moving on, Josh, softball coming out of the slump that they were in for the last week and a half or so, hosted number 21 in the country, UNC Charlotte, at home, and took 2 of 3 games. I mean, that was the first home win of a ranked opponent since ECU beat number 20 Tulsa way back in 2013. So, yeah, once again, had a bump in the road a couple weeks ago. That's okay. We're back on the right side of things. Take 2 of 3 from a top 25 team in the country. Then on Tuesday, you go out and you beat Elon. This team's got to be feeling pretty good about themselves, right?
Oh, yeah. Got to be feeling good about yourself sitting at 24-9 on the year. I mean, I think right now it's one of those things where the American Conference, it is what it is with softball. Anybody can get it any day. And I think you just got to be willing to go out there every single pitch, every single time you get it to the plate, and just give it everything you got. And this weekend, those women really put everything on the line, especially in that last game going extra innings. Like, yeah, I think they are really, really looking forward to going the distance.
For sure. And you have another tough test this weekend. You got Florida Atlantic on the road down there in Boca. You got to travel, but going up against a team that, I mean, is also, what are they, 28-9, 27-9 as well. This is going to be an exciting matchup for ECU.
Yeah. 28-7. They're actually 8-1 in conference. So they are the class of the conference. I mean, so going down there to their confines is going to be something to really test these Pirates. But I think that they have a chance to really do something.
I was going to say another top 25 team right now, ranked 25th in the country. Could get – you talk about ECU winning back-to-back series against top 25 opponents. I might be back on the train to rank ECU again.
Oh, yeah. Especially if we are able to sweep this one and end up going 27-9 and putting FAU, who was there, at 28-10, I think that warrants getting ready.
You got to.
At least 25 there.
You got to. Not to mention you still got that matchup against Duke later on in the season. That was rescheduled. So, I think you got to rank them. You have to. I just don't see how you don't.
Yeah, I don't either.
I just don't understand how you would say that they're not one of the top 25 teams in the country. I mean, at that point. Anything else on softball? Also next week, play at Campbell. That one will be on Flow Softball, so won't be able to watch it. But unless you are still paying for Flow Sports, which if you are, you should walk the damn plank, because don't do that to yourself. Anything else on softball, Josh, before we move to track and field?
Just quick shout out to Taylor Apple. I mean, pitched in game one and game three. Game three was a doubleheader. So pitched in the first game of the weekend, then second game of the very next day, and came out 2-0 on the weekend. So, I mean, 8-2 on the season. That's work.
That's wild to me that softball can do that. That these athletes can go out and pitch multiple games in a weekend, because it happens quite often. It's just wild to me. But all right, track and field. What's going on with track and field, Josh?
So Alicia Mozon was selected as the American Conference Women's Track Athlete of the Week because she ran 11.3 seconds in the 100 meter, which right now is eighth in the NCAA.
The need for speed.
She would be, if we didn't do prelims and we just went straight to finals today, she would be in the finals in an 8-man race. Like, come on. That is crazy. And the thing is, that time that she had is better than anyone else who's ever raced at ECU for the women in the 100 meter, except for herself, because she didn't even break her own record. Crazy. Crazy.
Absolutely wild. Shout out, Malisha. We need to talk more track and field. A lot of people don't know this. I threw shot put and discus, so I have a soft spot in my heart for the track and field athletes. I ran the second leg of the Fat Man Relay back at North Davidson High School.
First leg. Set the tone. Make up ground. Set the tone.
Nah, I was just out there to keep us in the running. Right? Like, don't give up too much. Not going to pass too many guys. We were pretty good at the Fat Man Relay. But then again, we had a future NFL athlete on our Fat Man Relay. So shout out Shy Tuttle, good friend of the podcast. So yeah. All right. Walk the plank. Do you have a walk the plank?
My walk the plank is going to tie into that last piece, because in our track and field team, we had a future NFL player as well, who is now actually the highest paid guard in the NFL. Landon Dickerson, one season younger than me. My walk the plank is related to him, because in his press conference after he signed as the richest offensive guard in NFL history, he said he was going to get a lawnmower. That was like 2 weeks ago. Why did he just get a lawnmower today? Who was not on that? What company did not see that and say, we need to get this man a lawnmower stat? We need to get him signed. Like, come on, missing out on a great opportunity. Walk the plank to every single manufacturer out there that did not get on that as soon as possible.
Yeah. I mean, that reminds me of a quote by one of my favorite quotes from ECU alum Harold Varner. He was asked after a bad round on Sunday where he lost the chance to win a PGA event, how do you move on from this? And he said, and I'm paraphrasing, he said, I'm going to do what I do every Monday. I'm going to go home and I'm going to mow my parents' lawn. And that sticks with me. So shout out Harold Varner III, ECU legend. All right, mine's interesting in the fact that nobody really knows what's going on, but it all smells fishy. Have you heard about the Shohei Ohtani deal?
I have. And I have a hot take. Not even really a hot take, but just a funny thing that I saw on TikTok about it.
Yeah, so basically, $4.5 million is transferred to an illegal bookie, gambling bookie, in the state of California, out of Shohei Ohtani's account. At first, he said he was paying off gambling debt for his interpreter. Then it comes out from his legal team that his interpreter stole that money from him. And then Shohei Ohtani tried to say that he didn't know the money was missing. So none of it makes sense. People are now accusing Shohei Ohtani, one of the greatest stars in MLB, for gambling on games. Now, he can gamble. He just can't gamble on baseball, right? But none of it makes sense. Gambling is illegal in the state of California, surprisingly. It's like the one thing that is illegal in that state. Gambling's illegal, so that's an issue. The thing with his interpreter is weird, right? Like, what role did he play in this? Was he the one that was the gambler? Is he the fall man? I don't know. But at some point, somebody's going to have to figure this out, because this could be a big scandal for Major League Baseball. Look, as much as we talk about gambling, I mean, you should see our group chat. Our group chat is basically just all of us putting in our picks for the week. But what is going on? Like, what is going on? Is it Shohei that needs to walk the plank? Is it his interpreter that needs to walk the plank? Is it both of them? None of it makes sense. So I'm going to say walk the plank, Shohei Ohtani, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce his interpreter's name, but he can walk the damn plank too. Something's got to – somebody has to tell the truth, and somebody has to know something, because this is too big of a profile for this to just happen. And how do you lose $4.5 million? I don't understand that. So walk the damn plank for losing $4.5 million too.
As Pete Rose said, if he had an interpreter, he'd be in the Hall of Fame.
I saw that. I saw that. I was gonna mention that. I saw that video. And I just don't know. And it's part of the world that we live in now. Look, like, I love sports gambling. You know, I think it's very fun. It's enjoyable. But it's part of the world that we live in, and we're seeing more and more of these stories come out as gambling becomes legal more across the country. We saw it, what was it? A year ago with the Iowa State football team. We've seen it now with this issue with Shohei. There's been talks about guys in the NBA. There's been talks about guys in the NFL. You look at Calvin Ridley. Like, this is it's a thing, right? And I mean, there was one in the NHL. I want to say it was Shane Pinto. Was using a bookie to gamble on NHL games from an account, and his bookie was logging into basically his FanDuel account from New York when he was playing a game, like placing bets during the game that he was playing in. Like, you just got, they got to be smarter. Like, how are you, I don't know, how do you have this much money and not at least be that a little bit smarter with what you're doing? I don't know. But I agree. If I would hate, Shohei has always had such a clean image. I would hate for this to tarnish it forever. But if it comes out that he was the one gambling and it was on baseball, you got to give him the same treatment that you've given Pete Rose, because Rob Manfred has said he won't reinstate Pete Rose. So they, I mean, the greatest hitter of all time, one of the greatest hitters of all time, won't be reinstated, can't be in the Hall of Fame because he gambled on baseball. And he never gambled on his team to lose. I saw something that was interesting. It showed that there was a bet placed on Shohei Ohtani and the Angels. I want to say this game was maybe 2 years ago against the Braves. And it was the worst game Shohei Ohtani pitched all season. Gave up like 6 runs, just pitched the shortest outing he had all year, and the Braves just put it on him. And people were accusing him of point shaving. Now, I'm not saying that's what was happening, but it's fishy. It's very fishy. I don't know. That's my walk the plank. All right, gambling corner. As we move into gambling corner, Shohei, you can stop listening now. All right. Let's revisit the over-under on conference losses. I think we set it at 5.5 last week. I'm taking the over now. Once you lose 2 in the first series of the year, I think you got to go over. I'll move it up. I'll move it up to I'm gonna move it up to 8.5. Or 7.5. Your thoughts?
I unfortunately will also be willing to take the over on 5.5, and I would probably take the over on 7.5 as well.
Yeah, I think
until 9.
Yeah, I think a fair number is probably 8.5. But we've seen this team get hot and go on runs. So I'm taking that into account as well. So we'll say 7.5, 8.5. The line's moving back and forth. What would you, if you're watching right now, what would you set the over under on for ECU, or if you're listening in the car when you pull over, tweet at us what you think the over under should be for ECU conference losses in baseball this year. All right, Josh, Sweet 16. Lots of gambling was had last weekend. Lots of fun. Had some hits. Had a few close misses. How are we feeling going into the second weekend of March Madness?
I'm feeling great, actually. I do actually want to bring up, just because I want to bring up the bracket real quick, because I'm not going to show it. Just want to check where I'm at in the bracket challenge.
I know where you're at.
The Boneyard Podcast. Oh, look at there, first place. Still. Mm-mm-mm. Yeah, I mean, it's just something about making a bracket. I am good at that. Let me double check and make sure. That's one, two. Mm-mm. Only two of my Elite Eight teams aren't playing. Only two, and I have been losing in the Elite Eight. So, but only two of my Elite Eight teams aren't playing. If your bracket is more busted than that, I'm sorry. I'm different. I'm just different. I'm just different. How's yours doing, Jan? How's yours doing?
We're doing all right. Like, all my Final Four teams are still there. As far as like the Elite Eight goes, I'm looking. As far as the Elite Eight goes, I've got I've got six.
Okay.
I've got six. I've got Houston, Duke, Marquette, Arizona, UNC, and Alabama. So there's still potential in this in my bracket. Missed on Kentucky. Missed on Kentucky, but and then missed on Baylor in the Sweet 16. But as far as my Sweet 16 goes, I mean, there's not too much red. We've got two. We've got NC State wasn't supposed to be there. Kentucky was supposed to be there. And then Clemson wasn't supposed to be there. Baylor was supposed to be there. So
okay,
I'm not feeling too terrible about it, but we're gonna need a miracle to come back and make a run at the champion in the bracket standings. Now I will say Artie's got a pretty good bracket going. I mean, I think he's sitting, both of his brackets are sitting at fourth and fifth. I've moved up to eighth. I've got a lot of correct. I've got a lot of correct picks. I just Kentucky did a lot of harm to me. But what are you gonna do about it? All right. Sweet 16. Walk me through some of your bets.
All right. So we got Duke versus Houston. Duke's a 4.5 point underdog on this one. The over under is at 133.5. Taking the under. And for the sake of my bracket, I'm taking Houston versus Duke. Taking Houston. I mean, neither one of them are supposed to be here in my bracket. But taking Houston.
Yeah, I'm taking Houston, and I do think Houston covers. And Josh, we were talking off air. You know, I'm pulling for the over, so give me Houston and the over.
All right, then we got Marquette, 6.5 point favorite against NC State. The line moved 1 point today. I had made this earlier, and then I was like, wait, let me check it again because I want to make sure it was as of today. As of 8 o'clock, it's now over under at 151.5. I am taking the under.
Over.
And I'm taking Marquette to win. I ain't covering the spread.
Yeah, I think Marquette covers. Selfishly, I'm pulling for the – I'll just say this. I'm pulling for the over in all of these games. Selfishly, I am. Okay? That's all I'm going to say is your boy is pulling for the over in every single game in the Sweet 16. Lots of points. All right, smash or pass. This is interesting. I like what you got here. Talk to me about Tristan Newton.
So Tristan Newton right now, he's plus 600 and a prop for the most points scored in the East for the Sweet 16 and Elite 8 combined. So that means that you're banking on him and his team, UConn, to get to the Elite 8 and for him to ball out equally in both. This is a good one. Smash or pass. Are you taking it or are you picking somebody else who's probably at longer odds?
I would take that. What I want to know is, where did you find that prop?
It's on FanDuel.
It's on FanDuel.
I only use FanDuel. I'm kind of a loyalist right now because I'm playing with house money still. So yeah, Tristan Newton. Okay. Are you taking it? Smash or pass on FanDuel?
I would take that.
I would take it too, because 10 to win 60, 100 to win 6. Like, I mean, this is – Tristan has been pretty steady. Pretty steady.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm taking Tristan Newton. I like that bet. Now, the one that you have for the West, I've got my concerns for it. I don't like – the odds at plus 380 for Caleb Love. You have basically the same bet here. Most points scored in the West for Sweet 16 and Elite 8. The odds moved from plus 490 to plus 380 earlier today. I kind of want to go RJ Davis here.
Really?
I think it's going to come down. Granted, if both teams make the Elite Eight, it's going to come down to that matchup. But I think that could be a score fest.
You know, honestly, I'm passing on this one too because the line moved to 490. Let me find that line again. Let me go find that prop and see where it's at now, because I'm going to find an Alabama player. Because if Alabama can upset UNC with their number one offensive efficiency.
Don't put that on me.
Don't let that be something crazy. Because that's something. Let me go find. Okay, Mark Sears. But he's at plus 320. Are you taking Mark Sears plus 320 or Caleb Love right next to him at plus 380?
I would take Caleb Love plus 380 over Mark Sears at plus 320.
RJ Davis is plus 200. So, yeah.
I mean, not enough action there for me to probably play that, but it's an interesting prop nonetheless. And then I see that any team from North Carolina to win the tournament at plus 750. Just knowing that there's three teams from the state of North Carolina in the Sweet 16, I like that, but I don't have the confidence in any of the teams from North Carolina to go all the way. I just don't. All right. I'm going to say mine. I'm taking in the Sweet 16 all the higher seeds. Nothing to be upset about. That's what I'm calling it. All the higher seeds, 8-leg parlay, plus 1934. I like it. Nothing. I won't say it's not a sure bet, but I like the matchups here for all the higher seeds. The only one that concerns me is the one you were just talking about, that Alabama Carolina game. I do think Alabama could scare them.
Yeah. I think Alabama, if UNC has a game like they had against NC State, maybe just a little bit worse, Alabama's going to tear them up.
Yeah.
It just takes a couple guys being off. It doesn't take much.
Yeah, I agree. That's the thing with March Madness is it only takes a couple guys being off. Another thing to watch out for this weekend or tomorrow. This game is tomorrow, Friday night. NC State. Watch the player props for Mo Diarra. He's fasting for Ramadan. Look, I'm not trying to make money off of his religious beliefs. But last time he had to fast for pretty much a whole game, didn't have the greatest of games. He's going to have to fast for the entire game, I believe, on Friday night. So keep an eye on some of his stats, some of his point totals. I think right now his over-under on points is 8.5. Might be something worth watching. Same with rebounds. That might be an area you want to watch. He's not eating all day until after the game. Just something to keep in mind. I'm thinking about that. And then Josh, you and I just placed an opening day baseball bet together. I'm riding with you, Josh. I told you I'm going to ride with you.
Your odds are better than mine, and they might. I don't know if it's moved again since I just checked it, but this is the same game parlay, and I am oddly enough one of those people who just for some reason loves the Colorado Rockies. Been to one of their games when they played the Dodgers in 2021. It was the second weekend. Oh, no, it was opening weekend. I think it was opening weekend. Love the Rockies. Even bought a jersey. Same parlay on them. I got this at +956. It's currently sitting at +1018. Rockies money line. First leg. 0-1 hits recorded in the first inning. That's the second leg. And then an alternate line hitting the under at 7.5. So that is my wild prop bet plus money line, same game parlay.
Love it. Love it. Well, let's make us some money. Let's make some money. Let us know if you're gonna trail us or if you're gonna fade us. Like I said, we're still plus money here on my side, so feeling pretty good. All right, Josh, great episode. Miss Artie, but always love talking to you. Thanks for stepping in. You get the call to the bullpen before the game. Starter went down about, 5 hours before recording. So shout out to you for being ready, having your game face on. Appreciate you. Make sure you check out Variety Sports Network. Find all their content on Variety Sports Network, on YouTube, on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, Instagram. So check out Variety Sports Network. Make sure you follow us on social media at Boneyard Podcast. That's on TikTok or on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and it's at the Boneyard Podcast on TikTok. Jeez, so many damn social media accounts that we have to maintain now. And then subscribe to us on YouTube. Do that. You're a friend of the podcast. If you don't, you can walk the damn plank. And then after you subscribe, leave us a review on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you listen to your podcast. Leave us a 5-star review. If you do that, I may buy you a beer at the spring game. All right. If you don't, Josh, they can walk the damn plank. Let's get out of here.
Yeah. Last little bit to add on is if you were not following us last weekend on the Instagram, you missed some of my bets that I placed. Wanted you guys to get in on it. 4 of the 6 hit. I'm sorry. You're not following us in all the places. You got to be all of the places to get all of the good stuff. So just make sure that you're hitting up our socials. Thank you again for watching. We really enjoy that, getting to share EC Athletics and our gambling corner with you guys. Thanks for being in our corner. Take us out, Jim.
Yeah. Couldn't have said it better myself. And I'll say it for Artie. Make sure you wash up. Clean yourself off. Let's get the hell out of here. Peace.